This is Chris Collinsworth. Be sure to check out the PFF College Podcast as our experts provide insight on all the league's top stories. Every game, every player, every play. Download and subscribe on iTunes or your favorite provider.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Slant, powered by Pro Football Focus. I'm your usual host, Michael Moore, along with our usual co-hosts, Brandon Marion Lee and Dan Schneier. It's a birthday edition, folks. I didn't tell you this before it started. It's technically my birthday today. And what am I doing here? That's the big question. To be honest, I have no idea. But nonetheless, I'm here, so we're going to do this thing. So the question to both of you is this. Worst birthday gift you ever got? Dan, you're up first.
Oh, wow. Worst birthday gift.
The best birthday gift is easy. Like, everyone remembers that. But the worst one, you know, I mean, there's probably a lot of candidates for everyone. So
the worst birthday gift. I guess the worst birthday gift would be, I don't even know. Maybe it would be a work computer that ended up breaking down within, I think it was a year and a half or less. So it was a shitty computer. Not well researched. Mm. Bought for me by my parents. They were trying their best.
And apparently trying to save money, too. But that's
apparently
okay.
Apparently trying to save money, too. okay. And I don't really have too many birthday stories because I'm one of those people who doesn't really think much of their birthday. I don't really love announcing my birthday. I don't ask for much on my birthday either. Like, that was one of the only gifts I ever got because I just mostly say I don't want anything. Like, you guys have spent enough money on me throughout my life. And then and stuff like that. I mean, I've had some good gifts from significant others throughout the years, but nothing noteworthy either in either side of it, bad or good. So for me, I'm probably not the best person to ask this question. I'll throw it to Brandon.
When's your birthday?
Mine is May 27th.
May 27th. Okay. Because mine's July 19th. And it's a summer birthday. So no one ever remembered my birthday. Ever.
It's nice out.
That's tough. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you're in school, you're not in school in July. So you never got the birthday celebration. No one had any idea. So, and then there were always like either friends on vacation or I didn't have friends or what have you. I never had birthday parties. It was very rare. I was a very nerdy kid. But I would say when we first moved to New York, we were destitute. It was 2009. The recession happened and it was terrible. And we got here and we were just strapped for cash. And my husband knows that I love to do touristy things. So he's like, let's go to Coney Island. Well, Coney Island is actually like a really depressing place. It's like poverty everywhere. Ooh. And all I was thinking was, what have we done? Right. Like
Look like it does on Mr. Robot, where there's nobody there and it's abandoned and all that stuff.
I mean, in the summer, there was everyone there, but like you go to the beach and there's glass in the beach. Like you can't take your shoes off. It's terrifying. You know, and then the freak show, the guy is like, putting a nail into his eye, right? And I'm like, so I look down.
So he's not just some dude like on the beach homeless. Like he's doing this like as
there's an actual freak show,
right?
And the whole thing is so upsetting to me. And I have my head down because I'm like, what am I doing? And the person who's got a freaking nail, oh no, it was up his nose, a nail up his nose.
Sure.
He goes, Miss, you okay? Miss? And he's talking to me. And meanwhile, there's a nail moving.
Right.
From his lip moving. And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And I'm trying to like shield my eyes. And we got on the train and he's like, okay, well, is there anything you want? And I was like, cake. And he's like, well, honey, it's like 10 p.m. on a Sunday. I don't think I can get you cake. And I was like, all I want is cake. And I just broke down on the subway.
I see how it is.
So it's like lived in infamy. We haven't gone back yet, but I was like, I probably wouldn't be as depressed this time because we have jobs, but that time was rough.
That sounds rough.
Yeah, it was
for
bad
me. It was probably, I think I was like 9 or 10, and my dad, my dad was around. I don't want to say like I had a deadbeat dad. He was around. And like, they're still my parents are still married. It's all good. But he was just the worst at like gauging what me and my brother were into, right? Like he never knew. And like, he was one of those like, oh, like you like that, right? And it's like, yeah, dad, sure. So one year he literally got me like a weather station, like as a 9-year-old, which God bless him. He was really trying. And like, I watched the news a lot as a kid. So we thought, oh, he likes the weather. So it's one of those things that like measures rainfall and like the wind and like all that crap. And like, I get it. And I'm in my mind, I'm like, what the hell is this? Like what kid like thinks this is fun? Like you're going to stick this in the ground and like, ooh, it like rained a quarter of an inch today. Like nobody does that, but you know, you have to put on a good face for that. And you're like, oh, thanks Dad. And I'm pretty sure it stayed in the closet like for, I don't know, until I moved out. And then I finally was like, hey Dad, you know, that was a pretty crappy gift, right? And he goes, yeah, I got it like the same day. I didn't know what you wanted. So I thought it was cool. I'm like, okay, well look, at least we both felt the same way about it. Anyway, right. So hopefully this birthday will be better than that birthday. But let's just jump right in. A little late breaking. We were talking about this offline. Dez Bryant, of course, he had a bit of an injury coming off of Sunday's game. Turned out it was a slight hairline fracture in his knee that will probably cost him a couple weeks. But to me, the bigger story is he skipped out on the MRIs and the meetings and ended up being fined by the Cowboys. So Dan, you're our resident NFC East expert. Besides the injury, I mean, what does this do for the Cowboys in general? I mean, Dak Prescott was doing pretty well there. Is this going to hamper his fantasy value?
Yeah, I mean, Prescott's actually PFF's fourth best rated quarterback, not fantasy, just overall. And that's crazy to me. But I mean, it makes a lot of sense. He's played really well. He has had the benefit of facing the Bears defense last week and decently beat down Redskins defense that wasn't seeming that up to the task in week two, at least. But at the same time, I think the deal with Prescott going forward is he's going to keep things pretty simple. He's not going to open it up as much. And without Dez in the lineup, he's a different quarterback, obviously. I mean, a lot of his stats have been derived from the run game. A lot of his stats have been derived from the play action pass. But overall, he's not somebody I'm targeting going forward without Dez. He needs number 88 out there. So if Dez is out for a while, and I think what I'm reading is it's most likely going to be 4 to 6 weeks, but no one really knows. It's one of those pain tolerance things because it's such a slight fracture. But to me, he's a downgraded player if Dez is not in the lineup, for sure.
So Brandon, I mean, is there a receiver to target there in Dallas now? Or, you know, is Jason Witten going to get even more of a bump up now? Or, you know, who's the guy to own there in the passing game?
I hate myself, but I'm going to say Cole Beasley.
No,
that's right.
Dude,
25 targets, 20 catches. Do you know he's tied for the fifth most catches in the league right now?
Ridiculous.
With Larry Fitzgerald, Stephon Diggs, and Doug Baldwin.
Mm.
That's wow. Cole Beasley. Think about that for a minute. Wrap your head around that. Mm. And then realize that even his yards are decent, though. We're not talking about him just whatever. Now, he hasn't scored a touchdown. But, how many passes are going to be stopped at the one-yard line for Dak Prescott? It's unbelievable. When you watch the games, it just was such a shocker that he hadn't had this passing touchdown because he has so many passes that end at the one-yard line. Unbelievable. So I think that's going to, you know, go back up to the mean there. So, yeah, I mean, he's so cheap on daily too, Cole Beasley. It's crazy. And yeah, I mean, listen, his average depth per target is only 7 yards, but that's perfect because it's Dak Prescott. He's a rookie. They want him to make the least amount of mistakes possible, keep his confidence up. He and Carson Wentz, so I'm not worried about those kind of numbers. I think that the volume is there for him. And then, yeah, for Jason Witten, and I think they'll probably get Bryce Butler more involved. I'm not going to reach out and go get him, but I do think that he's going to be a guy that they're going to try to mix it up with. Terrence Williams just frustrates me, and I can't quite go there on this show.
I was going to say, it appears he got a little bit out of the doghouse after not getting out of bounds in week one against the Giants, which we all remember. Mm. But yeah, I think I'm with you on Beasley. I mean, look, Dak's still a rookie, so he still is, you know, checking down a lot and going underneath and all that. And look, Cole Beasley led the team in targets. I mean, you know, now given Dez was not healthy for most of the game, but still, he had 7 targets, which he caught all 7, and he was very efficient with them. So, yeah, I think you may be right on that, which I don't know anyone on the planet Earth who would have thought that preseason, but yet again, here we are. So it just is a testament to how weird this whole season has been. But
so weird.
Nonetheless, all right, let's go to another injured receiver, Sammy Watkins, battling a foot injury, did not play this past week. Dan, his status for this week is up in the air. First, do you see him playing? And even if he does, is he going to be effective at all?
Yeah, I mean, so he has no structural damage on his injured foot. So I think that's something that people are, there's been a lot of misinformation about that. It's kind of just one of those things, like a pain tolerance issue. But the way I saw it was the last game we watched him play was one of those Thursday night dream matchups. Just kidding. Obviously, the Thursday night matchups are awful in the NFL. But it was a game where we all got to see him for every snap, and he really didn't look like he could do it 100%. It was against the Jets. He couldn't really run the go routes. He couldn't really plant and do anything like any different type of breaking routes, quick breaking routes. So I think he's not the same player. So until we see it, it's tough to go ahead and start him in your lineup, especially when you have so many guys that could be on the fringe of your bench with really good matchups this week. Thulpe Dorsett versus Jacksonville is one that comes to mind. Tyrell Williams versus the Saints. There's tons of really good matchups this week and good secondaries to pick on. So for me, if you're deciding between a good matchup and Sammy Watkins, an elite player when healthy, I'd rather wait to see him give one healthy game.
Brandon, what about you? I mean, you know, Sammy Watkins was kind of, you know, I would say underrated going into drafts this offseason, but obviously the injury has sort of derailed that. But, you know, rest of the season, where are we pegging Sammy Watkins?
I think that once he's healthy, he's a wide receiver too, rest of the way, I think. I mean, to me, he's a no-brainer for a starter, but I don't love him at New England, even if he is out there. It's a tough defense. It's a tough secondary, and they're just going to key in on him. I mean, that's Bill Belichick's MO, right? To take away the best weapon on the team. And even if he's hobbled, Sammy Watkins is the best weapon. I think Bill Belichick right now is probably planning for him not to play or to just be a decoy like he was in the Thursday night game. So it's a little bit different. But yeah, I mean, if he were to play and if he was healthy, Bill Belichick's going to shift and he's going to take Sammy Watkins out of the game. So yeah, I mean, Tyrod Taylor has been under pressure, the whole time, and he has been playing very weird football and I don't like it at all. It's all on these like big down the field passes that are just random,
broken plays. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very difficult to predict. So I guess that would be the downside for Sammy Watkins, but I still think that he has that talent. I've been a firm believer of Sammy Watkins the whole time. But certainly this week, to me, even if he does play, I'm not personally playing him.
Well, so that actually brings up another question, because obviously a lot of questions that all three of us get throughout the week are, oh, should I trade this guy for that guy? Should I, you know, dump this guy? So, Brandon, would you, you know, is Sammy Watkins a decent buy low candidate at this point, or is he still kind of, you know, there's still too much up in the air to attempt something like that?
Yeah, I mean, if you are desperate at wide receiver, let's say that you did Keenan Allen and you went heavy on running backs and, you know, you got like Ezekiel Elliott and Devontae Freeman or something, and then you lost Keenan Allen, something like that. I know that there are people that have teams like that. Then, yeah, I could see maybe hoping that you're going to, you know, swing for the fences and get some Sammy Watkins love down the road. But, you know, it's not the greatest schedule. Next week they're at Los Angeles, then San Francisco, at Miami, New England, at Seattle, at Cincinnati.
Yikes.
Yeah, so I mean, I think you could probably do better. I just think that especially if you're hit by the injury bug, I'm not quite sure you want to bring on more injuries, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I will say to that is that, and I agree with that for the most part, it's that the same injury that Watkins has right now, and I did just confirm at least according to the latest report by Mike Garofalo on NFL Network, they did another scan. There's no structural damage. Again, just like a pain tolerance issue. And I will say last year, Devontae Parker had the same injury early in the season, then bounced back with that, basically went on a tear over the last 4 or 5 weeks, just saw like two or three less targets total than Landry and a lot more yards and points per snap than Landry did. So, I mean, he was still kind of himself after dealing with that injury and coming back from it. So, to me, I think Watkins can overcome this. Watkins, again, this has been the case with him. I mean, even going back to his days at Clemson, like, he has a lot of these nagging injuries, and to me, he doesn't seem like the type of guy who's really fighting through too many of them. I don't know if I want to make a judgment on him as a tough player or not, but at the same time, if this is just a pain tolerance issue, he should be able to make it back in 2-3 weeks. Like, enough is enough here, right?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't trade him away. I think I wouldn't want to give him away low.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd trade for him low either. Like to get him, if that makes sense. Maybe I'm just in the like, if you have him, it is what it is. If you don't, well, you can avoid it.
He's officially in fantasy purgatory at this
point. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of the Bills and the team they're playing, the Patriots, we don't know yet who's going to be quarterback for New England, whether it be Jimmy Garoppolo coming back from injury or Jacoby Brissett, who will start a second game in a row. Dan, are either one of these quarterbacks, you know, a streamer option or maybe an option in quarterback or two quarterback leagues, or are we best just avoiding this whole situation?
Yeah, so this situation is going to be really interesting to see play out. I don't know if you guys caught it, but today Rex Ryan, Bill's coach, went on the – every week the media from the opposite team gets to interview one player, and they chose – the Bills chose Edelman this week, and Ryan kind of snuck on. He pretended to be a reporter and asked him if he's going to play quarterback. Obviously, there was no definitive answer for it. It's good. You know, Ryan can get away with these cute things because what else is he going to do? He's one of the worst coaches in the NFL. It's pretty obvious at this point. This is probably his last stop here unless they somehow make the playoffs. So he can go ahead and continue these jokes.
And, you know, I feel like, Dan, that's not even a hot take. Like, that's a lukewarm take.
He's not even that good of a defensive coordinator anymore, let alone a head coach, which he never was. But anyway, back to the point. The point is, I don't think Edelman's going to be the guy. That there's a lot of fun fantasy talk about that because you would get to play him in the wide receiver spot, and he would get some QB stats for you. But from what I've read most recently, it's that Garoppolo doesn't look that much worse for the wear in practice this week. And they also think it's a pain tolerance issue like the Watkins thing as far as his throwing shoulder goes. I think it's going to be Garoppolo this week. I really do, just based on everything I've read. And I think if it is Garoppolo, he's a definite streaming option. I think he proved it against the Dolphins. Whenever he's in the lineup with that offense, he's going to get going. Right now, the Patriots are playing really well. Like, their offensive line wasn't expected to be that great, but it's been much better than anyone could have expected. They have the running game going with Blunt. They have new weapons in the passing game with Bennett and Hogan. Even with and he only played like 18 snaps last week. Even Malcolm Mitchell, who's one of my favorite day three rookies. He had a sick 27-yard catch and run last week. So I think he has that they have a lot of weapons going, and I don't think he can be sat if he does play.
All right. One more little note before we get to our running back quagmire of the week. Le'Veon Bell expected to be back this week after serving that suspension. Brandon, you know, there's not many running backs that are doing the whole bell cow thing anymore, or at least doing it effectively. Should we expect Le'Veon Bell to do that? I mean, is he penciled in as a top three running back this week and beyond?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I would say so. You know, it was funny. There was this email out to all the people that do rankings, and I'm one of those people. And they used an example. They said we should say on social that we're doing rankings. And our editor said, you know, for example, like I ranked, you know, in quotes, I ranked Le'Veon Bell number one. Brandon ranked him number five. What's up, Brandon? As like an example of what to tweet. And I laughed. I was like, well, gee, I didn't know it was that big of a dig, you know, for him being number five.
So
I guess he's top three, not five. You know, for me, I just think that there's some guys there with just like killer matchups at the top. You know, Melvin Gordon has a killer matchup. You know, I like Ezekiel Elliott this week. Anyway, so yeah, I think that he's a top 10 talent for sure. He's a starter. You're going to start him. Absolutely. He's going up against Kansas City. It's going to be pumped up. My biggest fear is that what happened last year will happen again, which is that he got hurt. You know, he came back from suspension and then he had to leave being hurt. So I'm just going to sit there with my fingers crossed and hope that he stays healthy. But certainly the Pittsburgh Steelers do love that they have D'Angelo Williams behind him just in case.
Dan, what about you? Where do you stand on Le'Veon Bell? I mean, look, he has the talent to be the top fantasy running back, and he's done it before. But like Brandon said, there's just a lot of red flags, whether it's injury or multiple suspensions or whatever. So, you know, are you fully expecting him to just, you know, pick up where he left off last season?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the only negative, at least in my perspective, is the injury situation. And that kind of clouds his outlook for me long term, just because he's now had back-to-back seasons ended in knee injuries, also had dealt with some injuries, lower body at Michigan State. But as far as right now, going forward for this week, and until he does, and if he does get hurt, I should say, I'm as close to all in on as Bell as you can get. Not only do it, can you look at Bell's points per game over his career, which are sky high, you can also look at the fact that there is no Martavis Bryant on the field. Marcus Wheaton looked atrocious last week. They wanted to bench him. They did bench him, but then Eli Rogers got hurt, so now he might have to be back in the lineup. This offense is going to work around Brown and Bell. It was basically that way with D'Angelo Williams. He had the most volume of any running back. Except for, I think it was like Zeke Elliott. I'd have to double check this. But over the first 2 weeks, it dropped off a little against the Eagles because they didn't have the ball on offense. But they're going to run this offense through Bell, and he's fresh. He looks good in practice. He looked good in practice back in August. I mean, he had recovered much faster than anyone expected before the suspension. So he's ready to go. He's pretty lowly priced in DFS this week. To me, he's like a lock for my cash game lineups in every single one of them. Just like D'Angelo Williams has been the first 3 weeks, and that worked two of three times. So that's pretty good to hit rate on that. But I think Bell is a much better talent even than Williams. So yeah, until and if he gets hurt, I'm on the Bell train.
Okay.
Ringing that right. Bell.
So yeah. That running back situation is pretty clear. When we come back, we'll get to some other running back situations that are a tad murkier.
This is Chris Collinsworth. Be sure to check out the PFF NFL podcast as our experts provide insight on all the league's top stories. Every game, every player, every play. Download and subscribe on iTunes or your favorite provider.
All right, welcome back. We are going to discuss several running back situations that popped up over the last couple of weeks, whether it's due to injury, suspension, etc. But first, Dan, let's start with you and Jordan Howard in Chicago. Jeremy Langford, who was the starter, a big lightning rod in the offseason for the fantasy community, is out now for 4 to 6 weeks at least. The Bears don't have a lot of depth behind Jordan Howard. It's going to be Jordan Howard all the time. So what can we expect from Howard? I mean, is he, you know, so I mean, obviously he's going to be somebody to pick up on the waiver wire just because he's a bona fide starter, but how good can he be?
Yeah, so Howard, obviously, I want to start by at least throwing this disclaimer out there. I never, ever, ever root for injury and never am happy about injuries. That's not the way to go in this industry. That's not the way to go, even if you're not in the industry and you like fantasy football as a hobby. So obviously Langford went down and that changes Howard's outlook a lot. Langford's expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. But even before that, Howard came in on the second series for the Bears last week before Langford's injury. It would look like they were just kind of split in series. And based on what I said last week on this podcast, Langford, the only running back in the NFL not to force a missed tackle. I think that Howard would have won that job last week regardless. Now, obviously, he has a much bulkier role. As you mentioned, there's not really anyone else there. Joik Bell could mix in a little bit. They signed him. Kadeem Carey, when he gets back from that hamstring injury, will mix in. But Howard, on 13 touches last week, guess what he did? He forced 2 missed tackles. That was more than Langford did the entire season. So I'm not going to base it all off that. As I mentioned on the last podcast, Howard, to me, is really a perfect fit for this Bears running game. He comes from a zone blocking scheme, and the Bears ran almost 50% inside zone last year running in the running game. That was their most used running scheme. And Howard was really good after contact in college at Indiana and at UAB before that. He showed it last week too. He had 2.56 yards after contact. Obviously, I mean, most of his game last week was that 136-yard run, and then he kind of settled down. But the Bears' offensive line is really blocking well. Cody Whitehair's really settled in really nicely at center, and that's not unexpected for us. He was a very, very highly rated interior prospect by the CFF crew going into this draft, and the rest of that line looks pretty good too. So I think Howard's a nice fit, and I think it starts this week against Detroit, which is honestly nobody's really talking about this because there's obviously the Bucs and there's the Saints, but Detroit has been one of the worst defenses in the league. They're our worst ranked run defense, and overall they are our they are worst ranked defense overall as well. Sorry, because they have a very bad pass rush and they have a bad pass coverage grade. So this is the week I think that offense is going to stay kind of in a good game script, and I think it's going to help Howard a lot. So yeah, I think he's going to get going this week.
Well, speaking of the Lions, they also have an interesting running back situation. You've got Amir Abdullah, who was put on IR last week, so he'll be out for a while. Theo Riddick, obviously the pass-catching back, did very well in that role. They attempted to go with him between the tackles and first and second down. wasn't quite as effective as Dwayne Washington, and now there's indications that Dwayne Washington could see more action. So, Brandon, is Dwayne Washington a thing? Is that somebody that people should be picking up off the waiver wire?
Yeah, I think that he is a thing. I think that they will use him more. I do still think that they're committed to Theo Riddick, though. I mean, we can feel one way. You know? We felt maybe as an industry a certain way about Jeremy Langford, but if the coaches don't agree, it does not matter. It just does not matter. Now, Dwayne Washington did split the carries, actually, so that's positive. He did get double-digit carries with Theo Riddick, but Theo Riddick was involved more in the passing game. So, yeah, I think this is a really good matchup for him going up against the Chicago run defense, also not strong. I think that he could get some goal line carries if they get down there. But I do think that, you know, they are very committed to Theo Riddick, and I apologize to everyone, but I don't want you to be disappointed. However, he is the minimum on FanDuel. If you're playing daily, he is a cheap, cheap option across the board. So for whatever reason, no one is pricing him at that way, the way that we're talking about him, right? That he could actually have some sort of fantasy impact in this particular game. But yeah, no, I think he is the guy other than Theo Riddick, but Theo Riddick is real, you know? And I just think that, you know, we have to be real about these expectations, but this is also the new norm. I think this is the NFL now, people. So, you know, having this fear that Ryan Matthews losing touches to Darren Sproles is real, but then we found out he had an injury, right? You know, but Ryan Matthews is still going to have value. Dwayne Washington has value, but I'm not going to tell you that Theo Riddick's not going to get as many touches. He is. So right. I guess that's kind of how I feel about it.
Well, and so one more question on that. So on the year, Theo Riddick has already 28 carries. He had 43 carries all of last year. His catches, look, he still has 16 through three games. That's still on pace to match his 80 from last year. But my question is there any concern about, you know, breakdown or, you know, hey, too much too soon with Riddick because he hasn't had this kind of role before? Or should we just assume that, you know, if they keep giving it to him, then he's going to keep producing like this?
Well, I think that we haven't really seen a sign of him not producing like that. And as much as we adore Dwayne Washington, he's only averaging 3.8 yards per carry. It's not like all of a sudden he went in there and blew it up, you know, and in the meantime, you know, Theo Riddick is averaging, you know, 3.3, which isn't fantastic, but you know, still, I mean, it's not a huge difference. And I think that Detroit trusts Theo Riddick, and Dwayne Washington is a rookie. And certainly their coach has conservative tendencies. So, I mean, I just think that I think it's very promising that Dwayne Washington had double digit carries. It was just 10, but it still is double digits for the guy's first game with Amir Abdullah's absence. So, yeah, I mean, I think that he could break down. He certainly doesn't look like the kind of runner that should be going between the tackles, in my humble opinion. You know, and I think that I would personally be worried about that. But the team seems to really believe in him. But I don't think he's going to get much more than 10 carries in a game. Like, to me, this is the ceiling for carries. 10 to 12 is the ceiling. Usually, I think it's going to be more like 7 to 10. In my opinion, based off of what the game plans have been. So, but they do want to run the ball, but they said very clearly they don't care about having a 1,000-yard rusher on their entire team. And man, they meant it. They really meant it.
And Riddick had 226 carries his final, I'm sorry, 226 total touches his final year at Notre Dame. That was only in 13 games. So it's not like he hasn't done it ever before, obviously at a different level. But I think that, you know, at least it's shown that he can take, you know, he's been taking those hits at some point in his career. And he actually was a pretty good runner that year. He had 4.8 yards per carry. So he hasn't been, you know, he hasn't always been this guy that we see in the NFL, at least so far.
Well, and look, if there's going to be any week that Theo Riddick does well running the ball, it'll be this week.
Right.
Chicago. I mean, Dallas completely tore up Chicago's run defense last week. 40 carries for 200 yards, 5 yards a carry. So, if Theo Riddick, let's put it this way. If Theo Riddick can't do it this week, then he probably can't do it. So.
Well, but I don't love him against Philadelphia the week after that.
Sure.
Then he's against the Los Angeles Rams. Then he's against Washington. That's fine. Then he's at Houston. Then he's at Minnesota. Listen, I don't want to play anyone against Minnesota.
It'll be rough.
And they have two games against them. So just FYI. Listen, I'm a theoretic owner in a lot of leagues because where I waited on running backs, I ended up getting a lot of Riddick because I believed in him. And I thought, well, gee, I at least want someone who has a role. I want someone who has a role. That's just my mission of the year. So I'm pleased. Pleased as punch. But I'm also stocking up my bench just in case.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the Giants and Dan, our resident Giants experts. So we had Rashad Jennings, who did not play last week. So Shane Vereen took on a bigger role. He proceeded to tear his pectoral, I think it was. And
biceps,
now out.
Biceps.
I'm sorry, bicep. And now out for the year.
Triceps. Okay.
Yeah, he tore something, and now he's out for the year. That's what we know. So we've got Orleans Darkwa, Paul Perkins to possibly supplement Jennings, should Jennings remain out. What do you make of this, you know, situation? Who's the guy that will rise above the other two as far as running backs go?
So I want to clear a few things up here because this is a good example and a good learning experience for fantasy players. So I'll start, first of all, just by one quick clear up. They are actually expecting Vereen to potentially be back in 6 weeks in practice and then 8 weeks on the field. They're hoping he'll be that injured reserve designated to return guy. But aside from that, that's still a good portion of the season and a good chunk of the season that we need to find new guys on this Giants backfield. And this is a good learning experience for us because about, I think it was yesterday, Roto-World posted a player news blurb, and it basically said Ben McAdoo says, Paul Perkins, the rookie, is ready to step up. That was all it said. And then it was a little blurb about, you know, maybe he's the guy, he has a lot of talent. But if you look deeper and if you dig deeper, and this is why you should always dig deeper on not just Roto-World, I'm not trying to call them out. That's fantasy football's main source for these kind of player news bits. But in the interview, the interviewer asked him, is Paul Perkins ready to step up? Ben McAdoo said, Paul Perkins is ready to step up. No context, nothing added, repeated the exact question in answer form. Then went on to talk about Arlene Starko and throw out three sentences. So instead of going on that one comment where he repeated the answer, let's look at the facts. This last week was the first week Paul Perkins was even active. He was inactive the first 2 weeks. He did not play a single offensive snap. He was only special teams. Bobby Rainey came into the game to play some of the passing down role when Vereen was injured, even though Vereen then tried to come back into the game, which is wild. He played through a torn triceps, which is amazing. But, yeah, it is crazy. And Eli Manning decided to target Bobby Rainey on two goal line, to a fade into the end zone that was almost intercepted and another fade that was ended up in a defensive holding call. But Rainey didn't really do too well on that. For me, this is going to turn into kind of like a gross, full-blown committee. To be fair, Rashad Jennings has promised that he will practice on Thursday when the Giants return to practice tomorrow. I think he's going to play, to be honest. He was really, really close in week three. And then it's kind of going to be who gets that passing down role. And I think it's going to turn into a committee with Darkwa, Rainey. And I do think Perkins will work in. I wasn't sold on it based on McAdoo's comments. But then today, Eli Manning was talking to reporters, and he said that he mentioned all three of them. Even Perkins said, you know, we're going to get the rookie into the mix a little bit off some plays as well. So it's going to be one of those gross committees. I think Jennings is going to be the only one who holds value for a while. But I will say this, long-term, and you never know in the NFL, like I always say, and this is what I was saying before with Jordan Howard and Devontae Freeman, other guys, talent tends to rise to the top, and Paul Perkins is the most talented running back on that roster. He was PFF's most elusive running back last year, even higher elusive rating and even more forced missed tackles than Ezekiel Elliott, who everybody loves. And he's one of those guys, he reminds me a lot of Devontae Freeman. He's really good in short space. He has really good burst and lateral agility. And I think he is the most talented Giants back. And one thing I've learned about this year under Ben McAdoo, instead of Tom Coughlin as head coach, he's not afraid to play rookies. So you never know. It's not the worst stash in 12 to 14 team leagues.
Well, and that's what I was going to say is Perkins is a good example of a guy that is probably available in a lot of people's leagues just because, A, he's been so under the radar, and B, it's not like he's getting full-blown attention this week like you said. I mean, yes, there was the blurb about it, but they're still kind of downplaying it, you know. So, Dan, any chance Andre Williams comes back, please tell me yes.
Thank God the answer is no.
Okay. Brandon, you were going to say something.
I said this before. I'll say it again. Just bears repeating. If you look at our PFF scouting report on Paul Perkins, one of his weaknesses, pass protection. That is a rookie weakness in general. If he had that problem in college, I'm sure he's going to have that problem with 300-pound dudes. You know what I'm saying? And Eli Manning is going to get hit once, and he's going to look over at him, and he's going to be like, yeah, we're done. Yep. I remember this happening with Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. You know, everyone, you know, was so excited about, you know, oh, this, you know, this and that, blah, 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 and then this pass blocking issue. And he was like, nope, nope. I mean, I think that you have to temper your expectations, and they're also going to ease him in because they know they need Eli Manning. They don't necessarily need Paul Perkins. That's what I'm going to say about that. And even Ezekiel Elliott, the man with the greatest pass blocking grade ever from PFF, still had to adjust to the NFL pass blocking schemes. And it's been difficult for him. He has not been perfect. Let's just put that out there to be clear. So again, I do want to warn people, and the same warning goes for Wendell Smallwood. I know everyone thinks this is definitely happening, but everyone thought it was definitely happening in the preseason until he was terrible at pass blocking in practice. That's just not good. So just, you know, a little bit of warning, a little bit of warning. It doesn't affect your fantasy numbers directly, but it ends up affecting your fantasy numbers.
Sure. Well, so let's talk about the Eagles then. So it was kind of a weird week last week as far as the running backs go. You had Ryan Matthews, who at the time, nobody really understood why he wasn't playing as much, but it turned out he was battling an injury. Wendell Smallwood did end up getting most of the carries. They did spell him with Kenjon Barner. They both scored touchdowns. So, Brandon, I mean, you know, look, Ryan Matthews, he's a walking injury report. He's just going to get hurt. So, you know, is there anyone that is a definite, you know, hold on that team, or is it going to be a full-blown committee like Dan was talking about with the Giants passing game?
I don't think it's a full-blown committee. I'll tell you why. Because in week one, when he was healthy, he got 22 carries. Then it dropped to 9. And for whatever reason, they didn't have him on the injury report, even though they're now saying that he was actually dealing with injuries for 2 weeks now. So
it's like a Dez Bryant situation.
Right. It's very unclear as to what happened there. But that does explain the huge drop-off, right? So I don't think he's always going to get 22 carries, but I don't think he's going to get 9 or less either. I think that it's going to be in between, probably round 15-ish, which is what we want. That's fine. I'm fine with that. So I still think he'd be the goal line guy. I do think that if he's not in, you know, they're going to have to figure it out between Wendell and Kenjon Barner. But the whole reason why Kenjon Barner started getting some steam was because Wendell Smallwood was having a tough time with pass blocking. So they're going to protect Carson Wentz. Let me tell you, that organization is completely sold. He is the goods. He is their future. And if anyone's jacking up on blocking for him, they're not going to play very much. So, I hope Smallwood stays upright, but I still think that, again, dig deeper. The coaching staff said that Ryan Matthews is still the starter, that they plan on giving other people touches, but that he's still the starter. A little bit of a committee. But again, where is there not a committee? I just think at a certain point, we have to accept that they're not going to get 100% of touches anymore and be happy that they're getting the goal line carries. To me, that's a role. Again, like same thing with Theo Riddick, who's the pass catching back. I just prefer people with a role because I'm just letting go of this bell cow thing. Because, I mean, Adrian Peterson, you know, it's end of an era.
Well, look, just a side note on that. So the Steelers last week, D'Angelo Williams. Now, given Pittsburgh only ran it 10 times, but D'Angelo Williams had 8 of those, and Ben Roethlisberger had 1. So it could be, you know, we talked about Bell earlier. He could be the lone ranger when it comes to bell cow stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah, maybe.
Dan, what do you think about Wendell Smallwood and Kenjon Barner and, you know, whoever will replace Ryan Matthews when he eventually goes down due to injury?
Yeah, I mean, last week I actually wrote before week 3, I wrote that it was a good time to deal Ryan Matthews in my trades column. Basically, the consensus reasoning behind that was just that they're working a 4-man committee, and I watch how that worked with the Giants last year. It's not the most effective thing for fantasy football owners, let me tell you that. And obviously, the goal and the hope is maybe Ryan Matthews will keep that goal line job, but he hasn't gotten every single red zone touch yet this season, so I don't think that's even a guarantee. But for me, I'm not in on the Smallwood, and sometimes you have to draw your foot in the sand and as fantasy analysts and come up with your own opinions on some of these things. And for me, I watched a lot of Wendell Smallwood at West Virginia, and I thought he was a big, big, big benefactor from that scheme. He was running through a lot of open holes there. It was a wide open spread scheme in a really, really bad defensive division, the Big 12. So I'm not a huge Smallwood fan. Nothing jumped out on me. He looked okay last week, but he did have a lot of openings again. And that Eagles offensive line is great. Unless you can guarantee me that he's going to get goal line work, I don't want a guy who's going to get 15 carries for 80 yards and no receiving game work and no goal line work.
Okay. Okay. Let's finish up with Brandon's favorite topic, the Falcons running back committee.
I can't.
Brandon, I'm sorry. You're just going to have to, you know, face.
I'm just as angry as her this week. I wrote about this too this week because now I'm all in on this anger. I watched them now both for a full game. I don't understand what the hell is going on there.
Well, so
we rage inducing.
So let me just recite the numbers real quick. So you've got Devontae Freeman, 42 carries. Tevin Coleman, 32 carries. You've got Devontae Freeman, 9 targets with 9 receptions. Tevin Coleman, 11 targets with 10 receptions. You literally cannot get much more down the middle than with these two. So I think, you know, we have to concede.
You didn't list the yards, though.
Yeah.
List the yards, please, because I'd like to hear that.
Okay, mm-hmm. So rushing yards.
That's where the rage comes.
Devontae Freeman, 265 on 42 carries for a 6.3 yards an attempt. Tevin Coleman, 110 yards on 32 carries for a 3.4 yards attempt. It seems, at least to the untrained eye, Devontae Freeman has been the far more effective running back, yet the Falcons coaching staff is stuffing this down our throat and they are not letting go. So, Brandon, you know, again, we know these are the facts. So what do we do with them? I mean, the Falcons, the offense has looked very good overall in all three games, quite honestly. They've scored a lot of points. This week, they are at home against Carolina, so not exactly a cakewalk. But what do we do with Freeman and what do we do with Coleman?
Well, I mean, last week, I played both of them in a couple leagues where I did have both of them because they were playing the Saints. They're not going to play the Saints all the time. I don't know what to say. I would love to tell you that coaching staff knows that having 6.3 yards per carry on that amount of carries is unbelievable. Like, that's incredibly good.
You
football.
Think?
Yeah, that's elite kind of numbers. This is not like some pedestrian dude who's
that's
just
Jamal
happening.
Charlesian numbers.
Yeah, exactly. And again, on that volume, it's one thing to average 6.3 yards per carry when you have 4 carries in the game and you have a breakaway. I'm talking about like a guy who is a workhorse going up and down the field. And then once they get to the red zone or the goal line, they just let Tevin Coleman just waltz right in, just like no big deal. I don't understand it. And listen, they're team players. And I'm sure Devontae Freeman's like, oh, we got the win and he feels good about it. That's great. But, you know, I'm sorry, fantasy owners. I'm also not going to say I was wrong on Devontae Freeman. I'm not going to say I was wrong because he is still a fantastic athlete who is putting up killer numbers, elite killer numbers. And they've just decided to split the workload. I'm still starting him, I'm starting confidence in great matchups. I'm starting him a little bit of hesitation in bad matchups just because the split does suck. I don't know what to say. They're not going to stop though. Kyle Shanahan is a maniac.
All right, so Brandon going down with her flags flying. So Dan,
that's right.
and we're here at Pro Football Focus, so we're not just going to leave it at yards for carry because that's what you might find somewhere else. We're going to dig deeper. We're going to do the advanced.
Oh, after
so
contact,
let me,
please.
Let me throw some numbers at you.
Preach so it, Dan. Preach it.
All right, so we'll start with my favorite one because it's the most mind-boggling one to me. Devontae Freeman leads the league in rushing attempts that went for 15 yards or more. He has 5 of them, 139 carries. I mean, I'm sorry, 139 yards on these 5 carries. And again, 41 rushes like we talked about before. Coleman, he's got 31 attempts, only 10 less, and he doesn't have a single carry for 15 yards or more. He can't do anything with it. He has 2.42 yards after contact per attempt. Freeman has 2.74. Freeman's forced 7 missed tackles on 51 total touches. Coleman's forced just 3 missed tackles on 41 touches all season. Coleman is not that good independent of his blocking. And listen, last week we all saw Coleman on that 3rd-and-1 take that fake handoff, go wide open into the flat, and somehow manage to not house that ball. I have no idea how he didn't score a touchdown on that play. He was so wide open. But that was 47 yards of his ridiculous receiving total. I don't get it. For some reason, Coleman right now is the goal line guy, and he's seeing about half the snaps as we talked about and half the touches we talked about after. But I will warn fantasy owners this, and this is why Coleman was in my column to sell high and trade this week. He's the RB4 overall right now. Obviously, he has 4 touchdowns. That leads the league, all running backs at least. But this, I've learned one thing in fantasy. It's that red zone roles can be fickle over the course of the season. Just because Coleman has it now doesn't mean he'll have it all season. A couple fumbles, something like that, maybe a missed assignment, an injury, anything could happen. And he could lose that job. And Freeman was super, super, super efficient as a red zone back last year. So it's not like he did any, there's any reason he lost the role or anything like that. So, you know, for me, it's just a matter of time.
Well, and this is Kyle Shanahan's guy. Kyle Shanahan drafted Tevin Coleman to be the next big thing. They did not expect Devontae Freeman to be an elite running back. So this came out of nowhere. I think there is hubris here too. I think this is a coaching decision that he made years ago when he drafted Coleman. And I think that Coleman is playing well enough to still have this role and this kind of playing time, and that's fine. But I think we have to say that because sometimes I watch the game and I cry. I cry alone with my dog because it's so crazy.
Oh, wow. Well, that's just sad, quite honestly. Well, look, I mean,
thanks, Kyle Shanahan.
Well, and look, here's the silver lining of this, okay? Freeman is not getting the bell cow role that he did last year. Fine. So far, though, still the 13th ranked running back, which, again, it's right on that fringe of being running back one, running back two. And, you know, he's a top 23 overall fantasy player. So, you know, it's sort of like, you know, this is like a classic first world problem for fantasy players, right? Like, oh, Devontae Freeman's not like the number one running back. He's still a number one running back, just not the number one running back. You know, and like you said, Dan, it's very possible that like Tevin Coleman blows an assignment or starts fumbling or whatever, and they go, you know what, screw it, we're going back to Freeman and we're just gonna go that route.
Yeah, but Freeman could do that too. I mean,
right.
I mean, you know, and then they cut him. They clearly think that they have two people that they can trust, and that's fine. I think the problem is, and I'm sure that you guys have Twitter too. So the problem is that we're fielding all these questions from Devontae Freeman owners saying, man, I wish I would have drafted Tevin Coleman. And I'm sitting there and I'm trying not to jump through my computer and scream because it's like, no, I'm telling you, it's still good. So I guess, yeah. I mean, to be fair though, Tevin Coleman has outscored Devontae Freeman 2 out of the 3 weeks for fantasy, depending on what your scoring is. That's upsetting to people. And I understand. I guess I'm just saying, I feel your pain. I'm with you. Devontae Freeman is still a fantastic football player, but we just can't give him the touchdown runs. I don't know what to say about it. That's the only thing that he's missing. He literally has every other stat, as Dan just like said. It's literally like just across the board elite production. And so hold steady, right, Dan? We're gonna hold steady.
Yeah, holding steady. It's all we can do.
All right.
We're at the mercy of Kyle Shanahan.
That's it.
Making his third stop in the past 4 years. Where is he?
Not a situation any of us want to be in. But anyway, we'll make it through together. We'll get through this. So, but that will do it for this episode. For Brandon, Marion Lee, and Dan Schneier, I'm Michael Moore, and we'll see you next time on the Fantasy Slant.